Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The War Below Lithium, Copper, and the Global Battle to Power Our Lives is a work of narrative nonfiction by Reuters senior correspondent Ernest Schaeder. The book examines the mineral supply chains that underlie electric vehicles, solar panels, batteries, and other technologies central to the clean energy transition. Rather than treating decarbonization as a purely technological challenge, Schaeder shows that it depends on mining, refining, permitting, geopolitics, and public consent. The result is a grounded account of the tensions between environmental ambition and extractive reality. Schaeder follows critical minerals such as lithium, copper, cobalt, nickel, and rare earths through contested sites in the United States and abroad, showing how local opposition, indigenous rights, ecological protection, and strategic competition with China shape the future of energy. The book is both explanatory and journalistic, designed to help readers understand why the green transition is inseparable from difficult choices about land use, industry, and global power. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, critical minerals as the hidden foundation of the clean energy transition. Schaeder's central argument is that the low-carbon future is built on a set of minerals that most consumers never see. Lithium enables rechargeable batteries. Copper carries electricity through wiring and motors, and cobalt, nickel, and rare earths support battery performance and electrification systems. The book makes clear that renewable technologies do not eliminate material dependence. They shift it. That shift matters because demand for these minerals rises as electric vehicles, grid upgrades, wind turbines, and solar manufacturing expand. By tracing how these inputs function in everyday devices and infrastructure, the book helps readers understand that energy transition debates cannot be separated from industrial supply chains. This is one of the book's most important contributions. It reorients the conversation from finished green products to the mining and processing systems that make them possible. In doing so, Schaeder explains why a decarbonized economy still depends on extractive industries, and why mineral scarcity or bottlenecks can slow broader climate goals. Secondly, mining permission is a political conflict, not just an engineering problem. A major theme of the book is that getting minerals out of the ground is often harder politically than technically. Schaeder shows how proposed mines collide with environmental advocacy, community resistance, indigenous sovereignty, endangered species protections, and debates over whether certain landscapes should remain untouched. The book repeatedly demonstrates that permitting is not a minor administrative step, but the arena where competing values are negotiated. A mine may be economically promising and strategically important, yet still face years of legal and public conflict because its footprint affects water, wildlife, sacred sites, or local identity. By presenting these disputes from multiple sides, the book avoids simplistic pro or anti-mining framing. Instead, it shows that mineral development forces societies to choose which harms they are willing to tolerate in the name of climate progress. This makes the book especially useful for readers who want to understand why even widely supported climate policies can stall when they encounter place-based opposition and environmental review processes. Thirdly, China's processing dominance turns minerals into a geopolitical issue. The book emphasizes that control over minerals is not only about where ores are mined, but also about where they are processed, refined, and turned into usable materials. Schaeder highlights the dependence of global supply chains on China, particularly for processing many critical minerals. This matters because processing capacity creates leverage a country that controls refining infrastructure can influence prices, access, and industrial planning even when raw materials originate elsewhere. The book uses this reality to explain why governments in the United States and other countries are trying to reduce strategic dependence and rebuild domestic or allied supply chains. It also shows the paradox that many Western firms still rely on Chinese facilities because those systems are already embedded in global commerce. The geopolitical dimension is therefore not abstract. It affects industrial policy, trade relations, and national security planning. By framing minerals as strategic assets rather than just commodities, the book places the energy transition within a broader contest over economic power in the 21st century. Fourthly, the book treats local case studies as evidence of a larger national dilemma. Schaeder's reporting style relies on concrete mine proposals and local conflicts to illustrate a broader structural argument. Rather than speaking only in generalities, he grounds the mineral debate in places where the costs and promises of extraction become visible. This approach makes the book persuasive because it links policy abstractions to real communities facing real decisions. Readers encounter the trade-offs through specific sites where jobs, investment, biodiversity, land rights, and long-term environmental risk collide. The value of this method is analytical as well as narrative. Each case becomes a test of how societies balance climate urgency against local consequences. The book does not present these examples as isolated controversies. Instead, it uses them to show a pattern across the United States, and beyond efforts to scale clean energy repeatedly run into social and ecological limits. That pattern gives the book a practical dimension, because it helps readers understand why mineral policy cannot be solved with slogans. It requires place-specific negotiation, regulatory reform, and a clearer public account of trade-offs. Lastly, a balanced journalistic account of the energy transition's hidden costs. What distinguishes the book is its refusal to present the energy transition as either purely hopeful or purely disastrous. Scheider does not deny the urgency of moving away from fossil fuels, but he also does not ignore the damage that mining can inflict on land, water, communities, and indigenous sacred sites. This balance gives the book its analytic force. It asks readers to confront a difficult truth: cleaner energy systems still carry environmental and social costs, and those costs must be managed rather than wished away. The book's journalistic method strengthens that argument because it relies on reporting, interviews, and site visits instead of ideological claims. As a result, the book is useful to policymakers, energy analysts, environmental readers, investors, and general readers who want a serious overview of critical minerals without simplification. Its key contribution is not a single policy proposal, but a more honest frame for discussion. It shows that any realistic transition strategy must account for supply chains, public opposition, international competition, and the limits of extraction. In conclusion, The War Below is best suited for readers who want to understand the material reality behind clean energy rather than only its promise. It will appeal to those interested in climate policy, mining, geopolitics, industrial supply chains, environmental justice, and the future of electric vehicles and renewable power. Its main value is intellectual clarity. It explains why lithium, copper, and related minerals are now central to energy security, and why their extraction creates conflicts that no transition strategy can ignore. The book is also practically useful because it helps readers follow debates over permitting, domestic manufacturing, Chinese processing dominance, and the role of critical minerals in national policy, compared with many books on climate change. It stands out for its reporting depth and its focus on the often overlooked middle of the supply chain, where ore becomes infrastructure. Compared with books about mining alone, it is broader in scope because it links local extraction disputes to global competition and decarbonization. That combination makes it a strong primer and a serious reference point for anyone trying to understand the real costs of building a greener economy. If you would like to support Ernest Scheider, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.